June 20th. Oh. June 22nd, newcomers welcome session. Where are we at? What's the name? Oh boy. Room Balmoro at 1702.
Good morning, everyone. If you could start to take your seats, we'll get started. So first of all, my name is Jeannie Ellers. I work for the Global Stakeholder Engagement staff at ICANN. Janice, who usually runs these sessions, is not here with us, but she's with us in spirit, and I will try to fill her very large shoes and hope that we have a really informative and interactive session. The important thing is that you remember that we've all been newcomers before, so we're good resources. We understand how overwhelming these meeting weeks can be. Even staff have all had a first ICANN meeting, and so we're here to engage with you and help you as best that we can. The newcomer experience itself can be overwhelming, and I remember it very well from my first ICANN meeting as a staff member. There are two fellowship alumni here sitting up here with me. I will have them introduce themselves briefly and talk a little bit about their own experiences as well as newcomers and how they found their way through the ICANN meeting week. The weeks can be long and exciting and very informative. There's a lot of information. For a newcomer, you never quite know where to go. You never quite know who to talk to, and so I would encourage you to find an interest area and talk to the people that you meet who would share that same experience with you. There are some fellows in the room who have experienced this as well, and there are also some first-time fellows here, so welcome to all of you. And I see our next-gen people are here as well, so welcome to your first ICANN meeting as well. And so I'd like to say just welcome. And the session is going to run through the day. We're having a lunch break from 12 to 1:15, and throughout the rest of the day there will be informational sessions and presentations from ICANN staff and others to talk about what we do here and hopefully be able to get you interested and engaged. Please, questions are welcome. And the theme of the morning and all of the other first sessions that I've been to this week have been, there's no such thing as a stupid question. So please, feel free to ask it. And someone in here should be able to help answer it. And if not, we will find an answer for you. So please, to my right.
Good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me at the back? Please feel free to move a little bit forward. We're not that tall, so sometimes you want to see who is speaking. The seats at the front are very free. My name is Khao Musweu, and I was a fellow. Actually, I was one of the first fellows of the ICANN Fellowship Program in 2007 in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And you can imagine for that meeting, not only were we first-time fellows, it was the first time for the program. So there was a lot of, us being nervous and anxious and all of that. So my experience is that, I walked in the passage and I'd lost my luggage. So I had my laptop but didn't have my charger because I checked in my charger in the bag, checked in bag. And, I walked into the corridor and I spoke to this gentleman. I still remember his name because then he became a friend. His name is Steve Huter. I spoke to him and I said, look, I lost my charger, and guess what? I was able to get a charger, And from that point onwards, I started to learn about Steve's work, and he learned about what I do, and we were able to form partnerships that went way beyond that that first meeting. Again, even asking for a charger didn't I was a bit timid and shy at the time. But there's no such thing as a stupid question, as we've tried to drum it into you, for some of you who have attended the fellowship session this morning. And for the first time, at the public forum on the Friday morning, I stood up and asked a question, It was a little bit unnerving, but I made it, and and everybody nodded, and I felt like, okay, I'm in a room full of friends, So again, I know that the meetings can get a little bit fuzzy because there's so much information, there's so many acronyms, and whatever you don't understand, just ask the next person. And when you look at the badges, you'll find that there's one for participants, sponsors, and staff. If you see ICANN staff, just stop them and ask them if they will be more than happy to help. So just look out for the badges, and if anybody really that you ask will be willing to ask to assist, trust me, we're all friends and fellows, and we are willing to assist. That's it. If you want to know more about my experience and what I do, you can just look me up on Facebook or LinkedIn, or drop me an email, I'll be happy to share more. I know that we don't have a lot of time at this session, so I'll hand over to my colleague Carol, and then we'll find a few other people in the room to share their experiences. Thank you. Okay, a little bit later, yeah. Thanks.
Sure, thank you. Hello, my name is Carol Douglas, and I know Mama J would ordinarily be here, so I could be Brother K. Yeah? Okay. All right, so I'm from Trinidad. I'm a lawyer by profession, and I've been to two ICANN meetings as a fellow. And I just wanted to take off on the issue of no question is a stupid question. When I first came, I went to several meetings and I sat down and I really had no idea of what was being discussed. Absolutely no idea. There was no introduction to the meeting. I sat down. It seemed as if the meeting was already continuing, or should I say, there was another meeting, and therefore I was in mid-flight. I just happened to be, sitting in a very strange place, hearing strange acronyms, discussing a strange topic. Where am I? So what am I doing here? And I sat at the table, which was the U table, not the seats behind the table. And I said, what is being discussed? I Rabbi whispered to the person next to me, and I said, what is the topic? What are you discussing? And it's so important to ask those questions, because as a newcomer, you will go to meetings, and you would be thrust into a meeting where the topic is already well in train. In other words, there's been discussions on the same topic before, maybe a week before, a month before. So you are actually coming in somewhere midway or maybe at the end, who knows. And therefore, for you to benefit, do not hesitate to ask somebody, hey, what are you discussing? What is this about? Why didn't you, well, this is one of the things I did. Can somebody provide maybe a 2-minute synopsis or summary of what has been discussed before you actually start the meeting? So those of us who are new or visiting could at least have an idea of what has been discussed. So don't feel shy. Don't be coy. Ask questions. What is it? And as a matter of fact, you may even be tempted to want to contribute. And I did that. I mean, I don't know whether it's the norm, whether it's something that is encouraged if you're not part and parcel of the actual constituency that are discussing the topic. But in my case, I felt compelled enough to say, well, listen, you know, I would like to say something. It may not be recorded, but I did introduce myself. I pressed the button on the little microphone. I said, I'm from Trinidad. I'm Carol Douglas, and my first time. I would like to say something. I've heard what you guys are speaking about, and I think I may have an input, maybe just 2 cents worth of information that I would like to share with the meeting. It may not be recorded, or it might be recorded. It may have some influence on what you're discussing. It may be of benefit, or it may not be of benefit. But the idea is get involved, and this is the whole reason of being here. Because when you are here, you take back lessons learned. You meet people, as I was saying earlier, the greatest thing, besides the actual session where you are learning and you're absorbing like a dry sponge, you're absorbing all this information, the other fantastic part about this meeting is actually meeting people in the corridors, at the coffee table, between rooms, between meetings, where you may feel more comfortable discussing an issue, to say, well, listen, you know, you spoke about a lot of different things, a lot of different acronyms. Could you tell me a little bit more about it? I don't want to interrupt the meeting. So those are the opportunities that you have to look forward to. And as it was rightly said before, people are willing to assist. Trust me, there is no such thing as a stupid question. Trust me. My first meeting, I think I've asked every possible question in the book. And everybody, and I mean, I'm thinking about it now, where people actually, I said, listen, I don't know what the internet does. I mean, I know what the internet is, but I don't understand how it works. Tell me, I mean, there's root servers. How? For me, my brain is wired in a different way. And I said, listen, for me to understand what you are talking about, I need to understand how the internet works itself. Tell me about the root servers. What is that? I have no idea what is that about. So you go to meetings and they're talking about root servers, they're talking about protocols. So I happen to pull people out of meetings or in between meetings and say, could you explain to me, I'm very sorry, but what a root server is? What is that? And how does it work? How does it connect to another? You know, how does my computer, from where I am, connect to a website that is in a different jurisdiction, in a different country? And those are the things that people are very willing to assist you with. So don't go to a meeting, or should I say go to a meeting, but please, by all means, find out. So the things that are going over your head, hey, it's not a problem. Excuse me, sir, I am not too sure exactly what you're referring to. Could you help me? Or after the meeting, do you have 2 minutes? I could just pull you aside and you could just explain to me what are those terminologies that you're referring to, or what, you know, the technical aspect. So that is basically what I wanted to say in a brief note. And of course, at the same time, have fun, because it is as I said earlier again, it is an opportunity to meet people from all over the world. You know, this is an experience that you really have in life. You know, you're really going to meet all these people from all over the world in one place. And that by itself is a fantastic thing. And you're going to meet people at the gala night. So, you know, meet and greet, have a fun time. So the opportunities are boundless. And I just wanted to say that to let you know that this is, we're all in it together, as they say. It's a journey that we're on. When you go back to your respective countries or your respective communities, you know, there is an almost obligation, an unwritten obligation on your part to go back and take that message so that you will actually spread the word of ICANN and also spread the word back to ICANN. So you will tell people at home, hey, I went to this meeting. These are the topics that we're discussing. Hey, you on the internet, what do you think about privacy? What do you think about a website being blocked? What do you think about paying for a website? What do you think about extra, et cetera, sorry. So the idea is that you are an ambassador. And I think Fahadi Chedi said that, how important it is for people when they come here, they learn, but they also go back. And they take that message, and that message is then spread about in your various communities, constituencies, etc. So I think I'll leave it at that for now. Yeah.
So we are going to go next into a welcome from a welcome video from the ICANN CEO, Fahadi Chedi. So really briefly, before we go into the introductions here and to talk about some of the goals for today, for a bit of housekeeping, translation headsets are available. We have French and Spanish interpretation in this room, so please help yourself to headsets. They're over here if you need them. Feel free to speak in your language. Turn your phones off. Make sure your computers are muted. Questions and all kinds of interaction are encouraged. We've got some roving mics in here, so please, if you have a question, let us know, and feel free to ask it. And definitely relax. This is it's a long day, but it's an informative day, and we want it to be as relaxing and as enjoyable as possible, so that you can learn without feeling completely overwhelmed. So take a couple of deep breaths, and. So what we want to be able to do with Newcomer Day is we want to be able to build awareness and about ICANN and the internet ecosystem and all of the work that goes on within the multi-stakeholder model. We want to make sure that everybody in here has an equal place. Some of you are academics, some of you are from civil society, industry, some of you are end users, governments. You all have a part to play in the multi-stakeholder model. It's about engagement, and that is a really important first step when you walk into this room and then when you leave this room for the rest of the week. Like Carol said, it's important that you are engaging not just with others that you may have traveled with, but also with other people within this community. Everybody is very open and willing to answer your questions, and so don't be afraid to ask questions. Everybody has questions. Like I said, I ask questions every single day. There are lots of opportunities to find mentors within this community and to find guidance and networking opportunities. There are social events. There's a hotel lobby. There are other meetings to sit in. It's important that as you go through this this day and through this process that you leave here with a better understanding so that you can take the message home and so that you can continue to be engaged. The ICANN Fellowship experience that Howe and Carol were talking about is a big part of that. So definitely talk to the fellows, talk to each other, and be as friendly with others as you want them to be with you, and questions will get answered, and you'll sometimes get a very long answer to what you think is a very simple question, mm-hmm. and feel free to say, hold on, can you explain this part? Oftentimes, a very simple question can lead to more complicated questions, and it's important that you get all of the information that you need. So I just wanted to go through that a bit. I'm going to pass off to Hao over here to talk a little bit about the first ICANN meeting experience before we jump into the next part.
Okay. Again, as we mentioned already, it might feel like everybody's already talking in acronyms and abbreviations and all this jargon. Please don't let that intimidate you. So it all sounds like everybody's speaking a different language and you're so lost. And everybody seems to know each other. And, you know, you don't know anybody. But guess what? The last meeting, those people were like you. So we've all been newcomers before. So even though you may feel like you're a little bit intimidated, remember that the next time it'll be somebody else and you'll have a chance to help somebody else. So the experience is always different, and it's not a bad thing to be a newcomer. So please feel free. That's why you have a badge at the bottom that says newcomer. So that gives you an excuse to ask questions. Again, you know, don't be intimidated by the fact that, like I said, everybody seems to know everybody else. In the last meeting, they didn't know anybody else, and they were just as blank. You might find that you feel that, you know, there are closed doors. Sometimes these need to be opened, okay? There are some meetings that are closed, but don't feel like you're shut out because you still get transcripts to all those meetings anyway. The important thing, again, is to be there, to be in the moment. And I find that a lot of the times we carry our laptops and we end up doing other work within the sessions, and then we get to miss out on the important bits. So please, by all means, do try to stay in the moment, and so that you can ask relevant questions and you don't ask things that have already been covered.
With that, I would like to welcome our European engagement team, Nigel Hickson, Jean-Jacques Sahel, and is everybody here to start? That's you, yeah.
While they're getting ready, can I just encourage you to, when you get a moment, please go down to the ICANN booth downstairs. next to the registration desk, the newcomers welcome lounge. You will find all the information that you need about everything, and in different languages too. Hey? How does it get any better than that? So everything about IPv6, about the internet, about ICANN, about the name-supporting organizations, about the constituencies, everything. You also get Quizlet cards downstairs at the lobby. So, and we have some goodies. So please make sure that you pass by there and you actually register. And that's where you get your gala tickets for Wednesday's gala. The gala is not to be missed, trust me. So do pass by the booth. Thank you.
Charlotte, do you want me to say a few words? Are you sure? Is Jean-Jacques, is he here? Not here yet. Andrea? Jean-Jacques was here. He's disappeared. So good morning. That's fantastic. It's a Sunday, by the way. It's a Sunday. Yeah. Just so get you on the right page. So who's been to London before? God, I was expecting who hasn't been to London. Whose is this first time in London? Okay, first time in. You know, you get a free drink if it's your first time in London. Yeah. Ah, good. That's the good news. The good news is you get a free drink. The bad news is I don't know where you get it. But, you know, that's... No, you're all very welcome, and it's not for me to welcome you to London. I am actually a Londoner myself. I don't know what a Londoner really means, but I sort of grew up. I went to university here, and I worked here for a number of years. I worked for the UK government for nearly 30 years, and then they found me out, and I had to join ICANN. And and then I've worked in ICANN in Brussels, and I'm now working for ICANN in Geneva. So the person that should be welcoming you here is Jean-Jacques Sahal, who's much younger than me, although he hasn't got as much hair as me. But he is younger and he's more competent, and he would do a much better welcome. And Andrea Bacalli, who works for Jean-Jacques in Brussels, is part of the European team, and he would welcome you as well. But I don't mind welcoming you. So it's really great that you're here. And you heard Fadi Chahadi talk about newcomers, and it's just... It's marvellous, isn't it? Because you're enthusiastic and you're young and you're ready to go out into the community and tell the community all about the internet. So it's really great that you're here in London. It's great that you're here at ICANN. And it is confusing, isn't it? Because we all had our first ICANN meeting, and I've only been in ICANN about 2.5 years, and I was just totally confused. I was totally confused when they recruited me, actually. when you have the interview and you have to ask the person that's interviewing what the company is. ICANN, what's that? It's a great organization to work for, and it's a great community to be in, because ICANN is one of those organizations. So we have the staff and we have the board that make sure we behave. But then the community, it's the ICANN community, what it's all about. And the ICANN community, as you'll learn this week, is made up of so many different players. It's made up of businesses, it's made up of users, it's made up of governments, it's made up of civil society. It's a truly wonderful community, and they all come together 3 times a year at the moment. And London, as I understand it, is going to be one of our biggest meetings, isn't it? In terms of numbers of registrations. And I was wandering around downstairs this morning, and most of you came up from downstairs, and you thought, it's okay, there's a few people around, it's not too busy. Tomorrow morning, you wait till tomorrow morning. You won't be able to move. Because if we get 2,500 people downstairs, it's going to be fun. So I'm not going to talk for too long, because I think you're going to learn about a lot of these things. And when Jean-Jacques comes, he'll certainly say a few words. Right, the internet ecosystem. Well, there you are. You know all this already. So What we're very keen about in ICANN is our mission. And do you know the ICANN mission? What's the ICANN mission? Yeah, it's something like that, isn't it? So I always paraphrase the ICANN mission as, and I think Fadi Chahadi said it himself, didn't it? So it's a single internet. It's an open internet. It's a secure internet. It's a reliable internet. I know we don't use all those words, but I'm just trying to sort of... So the ICANN mission, through the domain name system, through its stewardship of the domain name system, is to ensure that the internet remains singular, that it remains open, that it remains secure, available, reliable. Now, I mean, obviously ICANN can't do this all on its own. You know, we're not an internet service provider. We're not a mobile company. You know, we're just one of the players in this internet ecosystem, as we call it. We're one of the players in this internet ecosystem. But through our contribution, that's what we try and ensure, an open, single internet. Now, for many of you, when people talk about a single internet, it's a bit meaningless, isn't it? Now, no, you're not all youngsters here. There are some older people I see in the front row. No, I'm not picking anyone out. But for the younger people here in particular, when people talk about the internet, for you, the internet is the internet. It's a global network. You've grown up with the internet as a given. Now, I'm not saying in all countries that you live in, the internet is totally accessible. In some of the countries you live in, it's totally accessible. In other countries, there are challenges in terms of accessibility, in terms of access to the resource. But the internet is global. The internet is an internet. And if people talk to you about, is there more than one internet, you look at them a bit strange. You say, no, of course, the internet is the internet. But the internet has only grown up as one network because of the work of the technical community, because of the work of the business community, because of the work of the people that put the internet together, that made it a single internet. And we must never take for granted the fact that the internet is a single internet. And that's what we strive to maintain. Because if in years to come the internet becomes fragmented, as it was in the beginning, if you like, when we had lots of networks, then we lose that singularity of the internet, which is so important. The ability for any user to reach any other user. The ability for you in whatever country you're in to access someone else in another country, to access an internet site, to access an internet resource in any other country. And that's what we mean by this internet ecosystem, this open internet ecosystem. So components of the internet ecosystem, and you'll have these diagrams, won't these sheets and things will be available, I suspect. So this particular sheet here, he says, trying to point to a slide. This sheet here is a glossy one, and I'm sure they'll be made available to you later in the week. It's really good. It's a glossy. They're at the newcomer booth. There they are, you see. Wow, they translate. Oh, good. Not even into English. From American into English. Wow, that's great. That really is you, because I personally can't read that American these days at all. I give me a bit of French, but American. God, right. So this is a really good. I mean, ICANN is great at these materials. We have a superb communications department. We really do produce some excellent materials, and they're really glossy as well. And you can even try selling them. I've tried selling them. Really, you can. Yeah. Well, not to many people, but So this is a good diagram, and this explains, if you like, the components of the ecosystem. So it explains that it's organizations that have a role in this. So it's organizations like ICANN, the regional internet registries that give out IP numbers. It's businesses, it's internet service providers. You know what I mean by internet service providers and mobile providers, people that provide the backbone to the internet. Everyone is involved in this ecosystem. And ICANN's role, of course, is to do with naming and addressing. We coordinate the naming and the addressing. We coordinate the country code top-level domains, the CC, TLDs, as you know, the dot, you know, you come from countries, so let's have a few. Who's here from Armenia? I know there's someone here from Armenia, because I saw them. You're a friend of Armenia. Well, well, we're all friends of Armenia, you know, but... So we all have different country codes. In the UK, it's .uk. In France, it's .fr, of course. Where are you from, madam?
From Somalia, .so.
I like that. Actually, some countries have really great country codes, don't they? I mean, it's just you're just lucky. Anyone here from Tuvalu? Tuvalu. You see, they have .tv. You see, that's marvellous. So they've managed to sell that. Well, you know, they market that. And then there's a .me as well. I like .so as well. I think that's a great name. .uk is not so sexy, is it really? But so there's country codes, and then there's the generic top level domains, as you know, the generic codes, the .gov, the .org, and of course all the new generic top level domains that are being introduced, which you'll learn more about this week. So ICANN is pivotal to the naming and addressing. That's what we do, but there's lots of other organisations that do other tasks. Right, let's just go through this, because then you'll learn more about... So next slide. Wow, that's great, isn't it? So that's another good slide. So the multi-stakeholder model, and I'm not going to lecture you on the multi-stakeholder model. You'll learn more about it this week. But what does the multi-stakeholder model mean? And this is very interesting, isn't it? Because I'm not sure how the word stakeholder translates in other languages. I'm not even sure how it translates into English, actually. But what is a stakeholder? What is the difference between a stakeholder and a user? Well, the message I'm trying to get, a stakeholder, the word stakeholder has a particular meaning, because a stakeholder means someone that has a stake in something. Now, this is difficult in English, let alone in a, or perhaps it's just a Sunday morning and I'm not very good at this. So if you have a stake in something, it means that you have an interest in it, that you're involved in it. You know, if you have a bank account, then you're a stakeholder with that bank. You have an account with that bank. If you shop in a newsagent or you shop in a supermarket, you're a customer of that supermarket. You're giving money to that supermarket. You're a customer of that supermarket. You're involved in that organization. If you buy a train ticket, then you're a customer of that train organization. If you're an internet user, you're a user of the internet. You're a stakeholder in the internet. If you are a user of the internet, if you're a user of a mobile phone company, you're a stakeholder in that company. If you're a business that provides the internet, you're a business stakeholder in the internet ecosystem. So stakeholders are people that have an interest in something, that have a connection with it, that have an interest in it. And stakeholders of internet governance, the governance of the internet, stakeholders are all the organizations that have an interest in the governance of the internet. So who has an interest in the governance of the internet? Well, you do, because you're a user of the internet. Businesses do, internet service providers do, because they provide the internet. Registrars and registries, those that sell domain names to you, they have an interest. Governments obviously have an interest, because we elect our governments to protect us, to provide services to us. So governments have a role. Civil society, non-government organizations, organizations that charities that rely on the internet or have an interest in the internet, all those stakeholders have a role in the internet. Ah, there's the man, he's not going to escape in a minute. So all of these stakeholders have a role in the internet. So the multi-stakeholder model is made up of a lot of different stakeholders. And these stakeholders all have different roles in the internet ecosystem. So when we talk about a multi-stakeholder organization or a multi-stakeholder approach, and you'll hear a lot about it this week, it's self-evident. All it means is that everyone that has an interest. And when you sometimes, people talk about the governance of the internet, and they say it could be multi-stakeholder or it could be on an international governmental basis, the difference there is quite simple. If a government, a single government, let's take a government, governments are elected to take decisions. So your government, Somalia or Armenia or wherever, takes decisions. Your government decides on what tax rate to charge you. Your government decides on lots of things. And sometimes they might ask you what tax you want to pay in advance. I doubt it, actually. Or they just take a decision on tax. Governments are elected to take decisions. But governments, when they take decisions about tax or when they take decisions about other issues, energy policy, they would probably, a wise government would ask the experts first. I mean, if a government is taking a decision on tax, they might actually ask people that collect the tax to know, you know, what the tax rates are. In the same way, on internet governments, on the governance of the internet, it makes sense for governments, when they're taking decisions about the internet, to consult experts first, to consult users, to consult businesses, to consult civil society, to consult people to get a better understanding of the needs of people in terms of the governance of the internet. And that's really all it's about. And there's a question. Sir? You can disturb me because it's...
Just to better understand, my name is Naveed, I'm from Pakistan. So just to better understand this meaning of multi-stakeholder, I'm not sure if we can add impact with interest, because that changes the definition altogether. So all the stakeholders, do they have the impact, an impact as well as an interest, or they just have an interest in the moral? So I'm not sure if you get my points, but... Because I didn't hear that word impact in the definition of multi-stakeholder, so I got confused. Is it only the interest or the impact as well? So,
no. So it's a very good point, because stakeholders, of course, have different roles. So if you're a user, you have a role to play. If you're a business, you have a role to play. If you're a government, you have a role to play. If you're a member of the civil society, you have a role to play. But they are different roles depending on your interests. And the different roles, the different stakeholders, have an impact depending on their interest in a particular issue. So obviously, for some issues on internet governance that we talk about, governments have a greater role than other players. If one is deciding matters of national security, so if a country is deciding on what their policy should be in terms of national security, which of course involves the internet, because the internet is a critical resource, the internet runs power stations, the internet runs waterworks, the internet runs the infrastructure of a country. If the government is deciding on the protection of the infrastructure of a country, of course it might consult experts, one would hope it would, but the government has to take those decisions. That's a critical government decision. But in other areas, if the government is deciding on, say, child protection policies or child abuse policies or issues of fraud, perhaps, then, of course, the government would want to consult experts. If it was child protection, children's charities, experts on the way children are brought up. It's just an example. So in each part of the policies, depending the policies that underpin the governance of the internet, different users have different impacts. And so in the ICANN community, which is all about domain names and numbers, as you've seen, we have a multi-stakeholder community made up of all these different players, and those players have different impacts. Obviously, if you're discussing the domain name system, if you're discussing the issue of names and numbers, then obviously registrars and registries play an important role, as do governments and other users. Now, we're going to come on to more slides on this in a minute. So I'm going to, do you want to put the next slide up, just so I can see where we are, and then I'll, right. So this is ICANN's role, and we've already touched on this a bit, but this is a good opportunity for me to introduce Jean-Jacques Sahal. So I introduced him earlier. I said he's got less hair than me. You didn't believe that, did you? So Jean-Jacques is much younger than me, as you can see, and he is the he's the vice president for Europe, and he recently joined ICANN. I had the privilege to work with him a good number of years ago in government when he was a lot younger, and it's fantastic that he's on board with ICANN.
Thank you, Nigel, and I wanted to really welcome you to London, for those of you that are not from London. This is my city. I think it's one of the most exciting cities in the world, so I hope that you'll have a chance to experience it properly, on top of attending all these meetings from very early morning to very late at night. So, as Nigel mentioned, and we had the introduction before, we've talked a little bit about this and what ICANN is responsible for. And it is really about making the internet work at a very high level, making sure that when you, as a person, an endpoint connected to the internet, you can reach any other endpoint also connected to the internet, wherever they may be, around the world. We're making sure that the query that you send to, on the internet gets to the right destinations. And the great thing about that is that we're doing it by involving all the relevant communities, those relevant stakeholders that make up the internet, starting from the user all the way to governments and via the registries and registrars. So in the next few slides, you will see, you will get a bit more detail on how those various communities, and therefore you, can get involved. So today, a lot of you are here as fellows, and certainly you're newcomers. I'm still a relative newcomer, as Nigel said. Actually, today is 2 months since I joined ICANN. This is actually my first official ICANN meeting. I was at a previous meeting in Singapore. I didn't even have a chance to attend the newcomers session. So this is my newcomer session too, although I've had to learn very rapidly in the last 2 months. A lot of what you're going to see, and there's a lot of really useful information that will help you for the next 4 or 5 days in really understanding all the dynamics and the various meetings, what you can most usefully attend and how you can most usefully participate both this week and in the future, whether you are actually physically at the ICANN meeting or you're following remotely. So maybe we can move on to the next slide. I think you will all get a copy of this presentation, of course, so you can go back to it. So what is internet governance? You've got this definition here, which was put together in the context of the United Nations World Summit on the Information Society. And the way we tried, most of us tried to relate to this definition because it's one of the more accepted definitions of internet governance. And I think, broadly speaking, it covers two aspects. Internet governance is both about the sort of public policy issues or technical issues that are related to the internet and the institutions that deal with the internet. And so, for instance, on the issues level, well, there's things like privacy, there's things like security, making sure that a network is resilient, that it's it will not be subject to attacks, and that will basically the internet continues to work continuously. I beg your pardon.
Natural resources as well.
Natural resources as well.
Well, that the network resources work well. Yes, thank you. And then in terms of institutions, there is ICANN, which looks at domain names and numbers, but there's many other institutions that are involved in internet governance. So, for instance, some of you will have heard of the Internet Engineering Task Force, and it is also a multi-stakeholder model, although it's mainly the technical community. It's a bunch of engineers. There's usually around 3,000 of them that get regularly involved. They meet in a very similar ways that ICANN every 3 or 4 months a year, plus they have dedicated working groups that go on. And these guys have designed all the technical standards, the protocols and the parameters that help the internet work as efficiently as it does today. And there's many other organizations I could mention, like the World Wide Web Consortium, the Internet Society, etc. And you'll get to hear about them and what they do. That's broadly what internet governance is about. A number of institutions that look at, that make sure that the internet works, and not just that it works efficiently. Sorry, not just that it works efficiently, but also that it is able to grow. If you think about it, the internet is actually only 25 years old in terms of its public global form. It's still very new, and yet we're getting close to 3 billion users of the internet already. So to grow from a mainly, initially North American and maybe European user base, it's now very much a global network. And to enable that network to grow, to scale so rapidly, you need institutions that help cope with that, that help move quickly to enable that growth and hopefully to get to 7 billion users very soon. So maybe we can move on to the next slide. And please stop me at any point if you've got any questions or comment. So a bit of history on internet governance. We've just heard about this definition of internet governance that was put together in a big UN summit that took place between about 2002 and 2005 when it concluded, the World Summit on Information Society. It had a first phase in Geneva in 2003 and a second phase in Tunis in 2005. Came up with a bunch of principles and an agenda for information society. One of the important points is that, or one of the important conclusions or recommendations is that in enshrining this idea that when you deal with governments of the internet, you need to bring all relevant stakeholders around the table. This concept of multi-stakeholder governance. Because the internet is unlike many other things in life. Nigel has explained it very well before, I think. A lot of stakeholders have got strong competencies, specific remits, whether they are technicians, academics, users and civil society. Everyone's got a particular interest, but also a particular knowledge. And if you put all this together, then you end up with a governance of the internet that is much more comprehensive, much stronger, much more efficient. And that was one of the main outcomes of the World Summit on the Information Society. You have other things that have come out of it. The Internet Governance Forum, the IGF, was created by WSIS. And it was because at the time there was a feeling that there were no places where people could talk about the internet internationally. There's no real, UN agency, for instance, or other international forum that exists where people can gather and talk about issues to deal with the internet. And that's why the Internet Governance Forum was created. So there's a global IGF once a year, but there's also increasingly regional IGF. So, for instance, last week we had the European IGF, which is called the European Dialogue on Internet Governance. It was held in Berlin. This year, and then there's national IGFs. So, for instance, again, last week we had the German IGF, we've got the UK IGF on the 1st of July. So, if some of you are staying in London next week, you can also go to that. And all those four are multi-stakeholders, and they cover a whole host of issues. Whatever really people feel it's important to talk about and try and come to some sort of understanding with others on, such as privacy, such as security, such as the role of governments in internet governance, such as et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can dream up of pretty much any issue to deal with the internet. Now we have places where people can discuss them. And then you've got other places which are related. So, for instance, you've got a UN agency called the International Telecoms Union. And, of course, we need telecoms if we want to access the internet. We need networks that transport that data. So we need robust telecommunications networks that physically support everything that happens on the internet. So it's very important that organizations like this get involved. And I could mention others, from the WTO on the trade side to UNESCO on the cultural aspect. And there's many, many, many more that I could mention, WIPO, intellectual property, and others. So there's a whole host of organizations that have a stake. They're stakeholders, just like you and I are for our respective competencies and interests. Then recently, you might have heard about Net Mundial. This was an initiative kicked off by the president of Brazil. She made a big speech last year at the UN General Assembly saying, you know, the internet has become so important, and yet we're having some major issues in particular in the areas of privacy and security. And we need to have a true international dialogue and evolve those systems of internet governance to reflect how global the internet is and make sure that it does work well for the future. So we had this meeting on the sort of 23rd and 24th of April in Sao Paulo. It produced a declaration again endorsed by RAF Consensus, by all the various stakeholder communities, from business to civil society to governments to the technical community, and now we're working on a roadmap for evolution. So there's evolution of ICANN itself, and you'll hear more about that in the coming days. And then there's wider evolution of the internet governance structures out there. So, for instance, the Internet Governance Forum will somehow be strengthened, and there will be other initiatives. There was also a high-level panel in internet governance that was chaired by the president of Estonia, President Ilves, that had people like the European Commission represented, businesses, etc. They came up with a few ideas, again, for how internet governance should evolve. And so over the next few months, you're going to see a whole host of efforts and actions to evolve all these various parts of the internet governance ecosystem. You'll hear a lot about this week. I think we'll have at the end of this presentation, you'll have a day-to-day summary of everything that's going to be discussed day per day during the meeting. So you'll see when all these issues will be discussed in detail.
Hello. I was reading not too long ago that the internet, through negotiations with certain governments, are going to basically be metamorphized into something completely different. Can you know what I'm talking about? I read the article that said that the ICANN was going to turn into something else. And so I'm wondering what all these different efforts would roll up to if that happened.
I mean, well, it's still very open as to what can happen next. So it could be a very radical change. And ICANN would completely change. I think what is really happening is again, it's an evolution rather than a revolution. On ICANN specifically, which is, and I have to stress, it's just one part of the wider internet governance picture. On ICANN itself, a key part of our functions are called the INR functions. Again, you will see a couple of slides on that in a minute. They are to do with effectively the directory at a very high level of the internet. So, managing the .com, .info, and all those new domain names that are coming up, like .london or .paris, etc. Just making sure that there's a directory out there that everybody can sort of point back to, that's a unique global directory that identifies how to reach another website, to simplify things. That key function, for historical reasons, has been implemented by ICANN, but through a contract with the US government, because initially it was a US government-funded project that created the internet. And so they still had some sort of link with this function. And the US government in March this year announced that it intended to relinquish its role and pass on that oversight role of the key directory of the internet to the global multi-stakeholder community. So one of the big streams of evolution over the next year, up to about September 2015, which is the date when this contract between the US government and ICANN ends, the idea is that by then we will have a new form of oversight of this particular function that ICANN implements. So it's very early, so it's difficult to say what it will look like. It could be that it's a new body. It could be that there's no oversight whatsoever. Who knows? So this week, starting tomorrow, there will be some very strategic discussions on all this. It will be the start. There will be much evolution later in the year. But you'll see tomorrow you have the big opening ceremony. If you can get into the room, do. It's a really impressive setting. Then there will be a high-level government meeting, which will also look at its major evolutions. You can understand governments are very interested in seeing, well, how this thing moves away from just the U.S. government to a global community. And there will be two or three other key meetings, concluding again with a major discussion on Thursday on all this evolution. So if you have a chance, and there's many interesting meetings to go to, I think it will be really useful to follow, really interesting certainly, to follow the discussions on that. So it's too early to say exactly where it's going to go, what it's going to look like, but we're at the start of that process, and I think it's intellectually very interesting, certainly. Yeah.
I hope that answers your question. Can I take you back one slide? One slide. Sorry, my name is Edwin Opari from Ghana. Can you go back one slide? Okay, I'm just looking at the working definition for internet governance. And over here, I see academia is not mentioned as one of the key people or key participants or actors.
Civil society.
Intergovernmental organizations are not mentioned. Yes, like OECD. So there is not an intergovernmental organization. Now, my question is, if you look within ICANN, there does not seem to be a clear-cut community where academia people can fit into. Does this definition, in a way, have an impact of sorts on?
This is, as I said, probably the most recognized definition, and even though it's actually quite complex wording, they try to keep it simple. That's why you don't have a specific mention of international organizations or academia. In other parts of the World Summit texts and principles, you will find specific references to academia in particular. I can't remember if international organizations are mentioned as such. But oh, okay. Sorry, I'm going too fast. Спасибо. Indeed, you have various parts of the WSIS text, or indeed the setting up of the Internet Governance Forum, which go into a bit more detail. If you look at ICANN specifically, I think we would have done it whether or not WSIS had said it, but basically we do have academia represented quite strongly, mainly as part of the civil society community. So there's a couple of slides where you'll see this. Intergovernmental organizations, you mentioned OECD, they are represented as, I think they are, the status is observer in the governmental advisory committee. UNESCO is there as well. So everyone, basically, who has a stake is represented. Here is just a simplification. So it's not that it's omitted, it's sort of meant to be there. So if you have a couple of hours, you can read the Tunis agenda and the various declarations. It's got a lot of interesting detail.
Before you ask a question, if you could just state your name, speak slowly for our interpreters, and speak clearly. Jean-Jacques, slow down just a little. Thank you.
There's a question here.
Okay. My name is Warabile Modongo. I'm from Botswana. My question is, does ICANN have any relation to the high-level multi-stakeholder? If there is, then what is or what kind of relationship that exists between the high-level multi-stakeholder with regards to the civil society in making sure that the privacy and policy of the government is attained?
So I'm not sure which high-level multi-stakeholder group you refer to. Do you mean the high-level panel on internet governance?
Yeah.
So the high-level panel on internet governance, the one chaired by President Ilves of Estonia, did have some civil society representatives in there, as well as governments, as well as business. So it was multi-stakeholder. So we supported, we basically, ICANN provided a bit of secretariat for the high-level panel. That's how there was a link. That in terms of how civil society ensured, for instance, that privacy considerations were taken into account, well, that was their role in sitting there, make sure that civil society considerations were taken on board. And then, really? Okay. And in ICANN, as you will see in different slides, I will speak in the microphone. I will do my Barry White impression. No, that's when you'll know you need to leave the room. you will see there's a couple of good slides on how civil society works in ICANN, and you will see that they have not just the ability to show their interest or to listen in a discussion or to even voice their opinions, they can actually influence the process directly. And they actually send people on the board of ICANN, which is the ultimate decision maker in ICANN. So there is a strong civil society community, and in fact, I was with civil society for the past couple of days, and the sort of existing groups that are within the civil society constituency in ICANN, and they are very keen to have more civil society groups involved and more volunteers to take part in their work and be more productive and influential in the organization.
Okay, so do we then say the Net Mundial Summit our meetup was about advising different governments on how to run their internet within their society?
No, I think Net Mundial, the idea was to try and gather all the various communities, including governments, to try and give a bit of impetus to the evolution of internet governance. Because there's been a lot of noise, a lot of talks about internet governance, not just ICANN, but then not many people were actually doing something about it. So I think Net Mundial was a bit of a kickoff process, saying, okay, what are our sort of foundations, you know, our shared principles, which are many of them were around human rights and privacy and competition, innovation. And then what is the roadmap? And so it gave a few directions for things that should be done. For instance, strengthening the IGF. For instance, ICANN should continue to globalize. And, you know, the US should indeed relinquish its role and pass it on to the global multi-stakeholder community. So that's what's gonna happen there. So.
Thank you. In fact, no one doubts that. Rida Gelouz from Tunisian ICT Association. There is no doubt that for the future, all stakeholders are convinced that the whole process should be multi-stakeholder process. There is no doubt about that. The issue and the real problem is not that one. We know that all the stakeholders are around in the ICANN business. However, the problem is to try to identify how far they are involved. They are indeed involved, but as you may see in the structure, the governments have just an advisory role. The civil society has an advisory role. And it is not clear, let's say for the common people, that they have a real role in managing the internet and governing the internet. This is, I think, the issue. If we could have a real and very deep discussion on this and make things change in a more effective role of the civil society and governments, probably things will change. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I think that's a key question. So two aspects on this. One is that, indeed, it can appear to outside people a bit unclear how it all works and how those different groups have got a voice. That's why we're doing this session and why increasingly ICANN staff but also the community is going to try and reach out and go out in country and try to explain to people how it works basically and how they can get engaged. So we're going to do much, much more in terms of informing people, coming to people and explaining how it works, so make it clearer. And then what's important as part of the evolution of ICANN, one of the major processes is that there is a review, it's called the Accountability Review of ICANN, and that's actually quite a broad review. It's a review that's running in parallel to the transition from the US government, and it's very much saying, well, if indeed we are losing this US government oversight, whatever new oversight we get, how should ICANN as an organization evolve to make sure that it's truly representative of stakeholders, that it's got the right checks and balances, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, on top of explaining to people better how it works, we'll, you know, hopefully over the course of the next year, we'll reinforce all the processes. And maybe a third thing is, that's what I was mentioning about civil society, the groups rely on participation, volunteer participation, and yes, it means people have got to devote their own personal time very often to dealing with ICANN matters, but they need help. So if you want to help civil society and reinforce their role, even with no changes to the existing structure, that their influence would be much more strengthened if they had more support, if they had more people like many of you in the room actually going to take part in working groups, contributing to public comments, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, I think we described what ICANN does a little bit. Now, if we look at the multi-stakeholder model, we've got about four or five different slides that explain the structure of ICANN.
this is just one of them. As you can see, there's a number of bodies that feed into the decision-making process at ICANN. And here on this particular slide, it looks like everything is sort of going up to the board of directors.
Mr. Question here.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oui, bonjour, je vais parler en français. Je m'appelle Amadou Lee.
Pouvez-vous vous présenter?
Oui, c'est ce que je suis en train de faire, oui. Bonjour, je m'appelle Amadou Lee, je suis membre du Collège de régulation des télécoms au Sénégal. Je voulais vous féliciter de vouloir et de prétendre et puis d'impulser donc cette dynamique pour la gouvernance mondiale de l'Internet. Moi, le seul mot que je retiens, c'est gouvernance. Gouvernance. Quand on sait que même gouverner un petit LAN, un petit réseau, un WAN, c'est pas simple que de gouverner, de parler de la gouvernance de l'Internet, où aujourd'hui les enjeux sont extrêmement forts et où, quand je parle de l'Afrique, qui jusque-là était n'avait pas beaucoup d'utilisation, aujourd'hui, rassurez-vous, d'ici 4 ans, 5 ans, l'Afrique va se rattraper, voire même tout le monde a un téléphone portable. Même les gens, ils n'ont pas de quoi manger, ils ont un téléphone portable. Ils ont de l'Internet, ils ont le Wi-Fi. Mais c'est désorganisé, il n'y a rien. Il n'y a rien, quand je dis, c'est par rapport aux autres pays, comme l'ICANN, les États-Unis. On a l'impression qu'on subit tout, que les gens subissent. Ils subissent le nom de domaine, la protection, la sécurité des enfants, des petits-enfants, les cybercafés, tout ça, il y a de l'Internet. Vous allez dans les grandes villes en Afrique, il y a de l'Internet, dans les cyber, il n'y a rien. Il n'y a aucune protection. Et donc aujourd'hui, on parle de gouvernance d'Internet. C'est très haut, c'est très profond, c'est compliqué. Et donc, comme l'a dit tout à l'heure mon prédécesseur qui est de la société civile en Tunisie, c'est plus que complexe parce que ce n'est pas clair. Il y a des enjeux extrêmement politiques au plus haut niveau, mais ce qui intéresse les gens, les users, c'est surtout... qu'est-ce que ça veut dire la sécurité, la sécurisation des petits-enfants, des 12 ans, des 15 ans, qui utilisent l'Internet. Et à ce niveau, il y a besoin de communiquer encore. Et puis surtout que l'Afrique soit vraiment une partie prenante. Et à mon avis, elle ne l'est pas, ou en tout cas peut-être c'est ma première réunion, mais je n'ai pas l'impression qu'ils participent, en tout cas que leur participation est assez prenante. Donc c'est vraiment la gouvernance. De quoi s'agit-il? Qu'est-ce qu'on fait pour que ensemble, les parties prenantes se parlent, se comprennent et sortent des éléments qui soient audibles, qui soient perceptibles. Et donc, vraiment, c'est la question que vous venez de poser. Et aujourd'hui, on n'est pas perdu parce qu'on connaît un peu Internet, on connaît la technique, on est des ingénieurs et tout. Mais c'est profond et c'est sérieux. Et l'Afrique, d'ici 5-10 ans, s'il n'y a pas des remparts, s'il n'y a pas des pare-feux, des vrais pare-feux, ça va être le contresens de ce que nous souhaitons de l'Internet. J'ai peur. Merci.
Okay. So I see that not everyone had a chance to take headsets. They are free for this session. So please pick them. I think I'll try to summarize just before I pass on. I know there's a comment on this. Basically saying, you know, Africa is rising. There's going to be a huge number of Africa. It's catching up very quickly. At the same time, many people in Africa don't feel that the internet is much governed yet. Certainly they don't feel it at their level, whether it's on things like security or child protection, etc. And so there's a big need for communicating and also, I think you would say, making it real for people in Africa and for them to understand that it's not imposed on them from outside, that they are participants themselves. I think that's, I'm trying to summarize. So, but you had a comment?
Yes, I have a small comment on this. Rida Gelouz from the Tunisian ICT Association. As a matter of fact, in Africa, we have the biggest number, highest number of national IGFs. It is clear and everyone knows that. However, we have still different models. Talking about the national IGF in Tunisia, it is indeed a unique model because we have decided from the first beginning that we will have a multi-stakeholder IGF MAG, composition of the MAG, saying that we will have 3 members from the civil society, 3 members from the government, 3 members from the private sector, and 3 members from the academia. And that was mandatory. No discussion about that. we have got elections in that way. So this is probably a way to solve the issue, this multi-stakeholder issue, at the lowest level and the most significant level, in fact, I mean, at the national level, because, you know, talking about multi-stakeholderism at the international level, it's a very vague concept. But at the national level, you start with the problems, with the difficulties.
Thank you. I think that's an excellent point, and we'll see how much detail we can go on that. But I was actually going to mention something very similar, because when you look at this, as I was starting to say, it looks like it's all going up to this big board. But actually, each of the constituent communities can take decisions of their own when it concerns only them. So what are those communities? And I'll come back to the local level, because that's really important, and that's something where you around the room can actually create initiatives on the ground that will really change things for the better. So well, welcome to that. If you start, so you've got So underneath the president and CEO, you've got the ASO, right? That's mainly those five organizations called regional internet registries. So you've got AFRINIC here, for instance, which is for the African region. RIPE is for the European region, etc. So it's for the five big regions of the world. What these guys do, in short, is they allocate internet addresses. So if I wanted to simplify it, I'd compare it to telephone numbers. You'd say in telephone numbers, there's a finite number of numbers, and you need to allocate them to each region so that as the internet grows, there's enough addresses. And the previous version of IP addresses was called IP version 4, and it's in the process of running out now. There's only a few millions left, and as I said, we've got close to 3 billion users. It's actually Latin America that has just had the last batch of addresses allocated. So it's this organization called LACNIC, Latin American Internet Registry, that has been given these addresses, and then they work with their community in Latin America to then redistribute those addresses at the local level. And there's a new batch of a new generation, if you want, of IP addresses that have been created called IP version 6. And again, these addresses are broadly shared between all the regions, and it's those internet registries, those five regional organizations, that reallocate them and deal with it at the regional level. And when it gets to them, when it comes to internet numbers and addresses, once it's at the regional level, they can have their own specific rules and procedures as relevant to their region. So again, as much as possible, things are brought back down to the local level. So when a decision can be taken locally, it does. And you bring it back up to the regional level or the global level only when we really need to. As long as we continue to have the internet as a global, unfragmented network, at the local level, you can set your own rules. That's fine, and the community should do that of its own.
So, an interesting question about that. My name is Benet Garcia, and I'm from Seattle, or United States. So when we get down to GNSO, and you're talking about being able to set global rules and how that works, let's take my favorite topic of the season, these validation emails and the validation process. So in that particular case, there was a rule that came down from heaven that said that if you change anything on a user, that the validation email would go out to the customer. And at that point in time, a 15-day clock ticks, and then and the website gets turned off. From compliance purposes, and how we comply to how we communicate with those customers, what we actually do to pull those triggers. That seems to be still happening above that group, because between the registrars and the people like us who sell domains, we have how we think we could solve the problem, but that solution is, I don't know if it's not acceptable or not being heard, but it simply doesn't bubble up. So I'm wondering how that sort of local thing actually plays in that situation.
So if you have a sort of local situation, if you cancel it out locally, great. But what might happen is that if somehow it has an impact either on other regions or on other parts of the ecosystem, then the other parts of the ecosystem have to voice their own concerns or suggestions, and then it gets balanced. And that's when it gets to the level of the board, broadly. I'm simplifying the processes, but that's broadly it. So again, if we can keep it to the local level, if it's, for instance, a validation system that is much more relevant for North America, and it can be sorted out between North American registries and registrars and users, great. And that's why it's really good to have multi-stakeholder groups locally where you might be able to get to those arrangements. But you still always need to check that it works with the, you know, it doesn't mess up the global coordination, if you will. So if that happens, if there's ever interest to take into account, that's when you bring them up to the global level. I hope I'm making that clear. Jeannie, do you want to?
Not on that.
Oh. All right, okay. So we could have this session going on for a while, and we need to move on a bit. Sorry. So I'll just quickly go through the various groups. So you've got those registries. You've got the GNSO. That's where you have all these the people in charge of generic top-level domains. We really need to... Okay, there we go. There you go. You've got that in another setup. And then you've got a technical aspect. So basically, all the various components of our ecosystem have got their advisory committee, and new advisory committees or groupings are being created all the time. So, for instance, in the generic name supporting organization, the third bullets under supporting organizations, you have a subgroup, which is the intellectual property community. And then you have a law enforcement group where the various people in security agencies have their own discussions. Then they feed it back to, for instance, the GNSO. And then the GNSO can feed it up to the wider organization, et cetera, et cetera. And basically, as you go down the list to the technical bodies and others, they all have their own processes, and when it gets to the global level, they coordinate, and the board balances the various interests and tries to take a decision that works for the entire community. Now, the internet has got a major problem, which is that sometimes presentations don't work. Now, I think we're going to go now into a quick overview of... in particular, how the private sector and civil society and users get involved in ICANN. I think that's the next batch. Yeah, thank you. So I guess a lot of you in the room will be either from the private sector or civil society, including whether if you're individual users or students, for instance. One of the main bodies in which you can get involved is the GNSO. And then you have specific stakeholder groups within that. If you're a commercial stakeholders group, non-commercial registrars registry. So, for instance, if you are an NGO, typically, you would be in the non-commercial stakeholders group. That's where you would meet with a whole lot of, well, for instance, academia. Will have a strong has a strong representation there. But you'll have all sorts of people, enthusiasts, privacy groups, development, NGOs, etc. That's where they will meet. And they will produce opinions. They will create specific working groups on specific issues. And they will respond to public comments as a group. And importantly, they can bring up issues to the level of their own council, this GNSO council. So everyone of these groups has got representatives elected to this GNSO council. So again, when they are dealing with policies which are of interest specifically to this community, they can agree amongst themselves. If there are issues which are of broader interest, which include other parts of the ICANN ecosystem, it goes up to the board of ICANN. And what's important here is that this GNSO can send two voting members to the ICANN board, which means that civil society has at least, usually, one, if not two, representatives on the ICANN board. At the moment, it's Professor Wolfgang Kleinwächter from Germany, so academia, who's very respected in the community. He is brilliant. If you see him in the room, grab him. He's a lovely man. And you can ask him every single question you want, and he will try to respond in a nice way. If you bump into him, he's very nice and really worth knowing. And he's got a great... he's a lecturer, so he can tell you a lot very well about internet governance, much better than I can, and without the Barry White impersonation. Let's move on. When we have governments, they have started our meetings yesterday. They usually start at the weekend. And they basically just bring in the public policy perspective, the government's perspective, to the ICANN community. So when, for instance, there are new domain names being created, they will give their input on whether these new domain names are compatible with government goals and public policy goals. If there are security matters, for instance, cybersecurity matters, then they will have a particular angle on those. And their role is to provide advice, in particular to the board of ICANN, on these policy issues. And it's obviously a very important role, but it's an evolving role. It's a new role because governments are not used to this model where they're just part of the community rather than the decision makers. So it's a very interesting environment. As I said, they are meeting right now, so if you've got a bit of time later on today or later in the week, I would really encourage you to go and have a look at the GAC meetings. It's not like a normal meeting of an intergovernmental organization. They don't even have flags or anything like that like you would have in UN settings, but they do discuss some very serious public policy aspects and try to come to consensus views of governments to feed into the wider ICANN decision-making process. So it's a really interesting environment to look at. As you can see, we've got approximately 130 governments on the GAC, there's more than that, 142 now, and you will see that tomorrow, the high-level government meeting, we will have more than 100 countries, 100 governments represented, and we have close to, I think, 40 ministers coming from all over the world representing governments. And they do send, indeed, a non-voting representative to the board. Although, and even though they just have an advisory role, it's a very special advisory role. So the board really takes a very specific account of their advice. Now, individual end users is another one that could be of interest to many of you. You might have heard that at the moment there's a big summit going on in this hotel as part of the ICANN Week, which is called the Atlas Summit. And that's a meeting of what's called the at-large advisory structures or the at-large advisory committee. And it's basically where pretty much any user of the internet can become active. If you're not an NGO, if you're not in a business, if you just want to do this because you care about the internet and how it gets organized at a high level, you can join an at-large structure. As you can see, there's 150 at-large structures spanning the whole world. There's quite a few in Africa, for instance, to respond to. I don't know if there's one in Senegal, but I would expect there is. As you can see, Kenya just became one. And it does send a voting member to the ICANN board. So they do have a real role. They are integrated within the GNSO, I believe. Isn't it in GNSO? Anyway, they're integrated in one. Sorry, they feed into one of those supporting organizations. Sorry, I should know this better, but only 2 months and I can. So shall we maybe move on? And at ICANN, you sometimes need to start from a blank page. Right. This is, as I said, we have a lot of infographics and a lot of representations. But this is probably one of the clearer ways of explaining how it all feeds in. And we've got all these various stakeholder groups and competencies, and they all provide advice that feed into the global policymaking process. And as much as possible, all the processes on ICANN have been developed so that every stakeholder that has an interest in how the internet develops can be represented, and that they don't have, no single stakeholder is more important than any other. Some might have better competence than others in some areas, of course. And technical communities has got competencies that many of us don't have. So we might listen to their voice more on technical matters. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a say, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very pioneering structure. It's something that hasn't really existed properly in many of our societies around the world. That's why it's important that we pay attention to the evolution of internet governance and we try to improve on this multi-stakeholder model. And so you will hear a lot about this over the next few days because it's the core of many strategic discussions for this meeting and beyond. I wonder if Fad, you can say maybe a few words. Is Fad still in the room on the regional staff and how we can help? Do you weren't prepared. He was working hard.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Good morning, everybody. My name is Fahad Batayna. I'm from Jordan. I used to be an ICANN fellow, actually. I attended my first ICANN meeting back in June of 2008. I became a community member eventually, and I just joined ICANN 8 months ago. So I work with my colleague, Bahar Asmat. He's from Egypt, covering the Middle East. So the region we cover is actually the 22 Arab states, in addition to Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Turkey was added recently. Bahar has been working for ICANN actually for 8 years now, more than 8 years. He's been doing a tremendous job. Ever since Fadi joined as ICANN CEO, things have expanded, and so regional staff are expanding as well. Even in the case of Europe, we have Andre, who actually joined Nigel after Nigel joined. The same applies to Africa and Africa. There are two regional managers in addition to the vice president of Africa, Pierre Dongino, and other regions as well. So as you will see during the week, I mean, the majority of who attend ICANN meetings or even participate in the process are from certain regions around the world. And so the other regions need more participation, need more engagement, need to understand what internet governance is. And one of those regions is the Middle East. So back in, late 2012, the Middle East, through Bahar and staff members at ICANN, decided that we need a regional strategy. And so community members were gathered from within the region, from within the Middle East, to actually get together and develop a strategy and brainstorm what are the key issues that need to be resolved or need to be tackled in order for a better participation from the region and in order for a stronger internet governance ecosystem and probably even a stronger domain name industry in the region. So the working group came out with a strategy document. It's available on a wiki space. If anybody's interested in reading more about the Middle East strategy, you can just contact me offline and I'll be more than happy to show you that. Some of the issues that we are tackling at the moment within the strategy is issues related to capacity building. So we believe that, well, the working group believes that capacity building is an area that needs to be tackled. And so capacity building related to internet governance, domain names, security and stability issues are things that we are trying to deliver to our regional community. We just held a Middle East DNS forum back in February. That was the first edition within the region. It was a huge success, and we actually envision it to be an annual event. We just concluded a Middle East school on internet governance, so that's similar to the European school on internet governance or even the South school on internet governance and the recently African school on internet governance. The first school on internet governance in the Middle East took place in Kuwait at the end of May. We actually had 25 students. We received around 43 applications. It was really interesting. The majority of the instructors within the school were actually from within the region, and that was something positive. Other things we are working on at the moment is to have a DNS forum in Turkey. So Turkey is a country that actually got added to our region January of 2013, and we are trying to do a lot of work there. We have a hub office there in Istanbul. Staff are expanding there. Of course, the goal behind these hub offices is to actually provide ICANN services to the entire world on a 24/7 basis, if you may call it. The regional strategies, there is a regional strategy in Africa, and actually it was Africa who started all this strategy initiatives. I believe Latin America also have a regional strategy. Europe are probably in the pipelines of initiating one. The Asia Pacific is also working on something similar. I know that the Pacific Islands are actually working on developing a strategy. So those are the regional strategies in a nutshell.
Thank you. Sorry for dragging. Thank you. And that goes back to what we were discussing before in terms of bringing it closer to people. We want to come in and help and educate on how it works, both within ICANN and working with others like the Internet Society, explaining how internet governance more generally works. But it's not just about educating, it's about really building capacity locally. So an example like Tunisia is very interesting because it's about saying, well,
you know, there's all these things at a global level, but you want to be able to deal with internet realities, if you want, at a local level. And the best thing to do that is to create a model at the local level where you bring in also stakeholders. It can be effectively informal, but it's a working group of people, academia, technical people, governments, etc., that can come in and discuss everyday issues. So if in Senegal, for instance, you've got some child protection concerns on the internet, then you can get a group that focuses on it. If, for instance, it's looking for best practices and information, then within that group, hopefully there will be people that will know how to reach out and who to reach out to. Or if there are issues which are, by essence, more cross-border that can't be dealt with within the national setup, then you have a mechanism to go to, for instance, the African Internet Governance Forum, and all directly to ICANN, depending on the matter. And so I would really encourage you, from wherever you are, if there is already an Internet Governance Forum in your country, there's probably some sort of either formal or informal multi-stakeholder group that exists to organize it. Get involved. Everything is open normally. And if it doesn't exist, you should really consider creating it. Whether you're a government, whether you're an individual user, whether you're a computer scientist, just reach out to other communities, academics and others, and try and come together into this group. And as part of our engagement as ICANN and as with other organizations like ISOC, we'd be ready to give you a hand, absolutely. And we know of, for instance, other models, places like Tunisia, or we'll hear later this week about Lebanon, where they're creating a new structure like this. Brazil has got a structure that has been extremely influential called CGI, which is a multi-stakeholder group, where effectively they were the ones who crafted a very famous, now famous piece of legislation called Marco Civil, that was agreed and signed in April this year in Sao Paulo, actually during that Mundial. So these structures are very helpful because they can help people on the ground, they can provide capacity, and then they can help governments in particular to have better policy making and better legislation around the internet when it comes to it. So I would encourage you all to think about this as you experience this week, and then when you get home, if you don't have an IGF, if you don't have a multi-stakeholder model, a multi-stakeholder group at your local level, create one and please get in touch with us, and we'll help you as much as we can. So if you do want help, just you can contact us. Do you want to say a word? I want to say, just contact us. It's europe@icann.org. Do not hesitate, and then you'll get to me and Andrea. Do you want to say?
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Yes, I just want to say a few words. My name is Andrea Beccali. I work at the Brussels office as a regional manager for Europe. I must say that I'm amazed that after looking at all those slides, you didn't just stood up and left the room, because that's really complicated stuff. And the way we present, it's not easy. And really, I've seen people taking pictures, and I was like, wow, that's something that shows how much interest is there. So my point is that if you are here and you didn't leave the room in the past hour and a half, means that you want to be engaged. And please take advantage of us to bridge any gap that you see in understanding every single little part of these lights or this community. I mean, we are here to, in a way, to serve you, to help you be part of this amazing thing that is ICANN. And I think even the acronym ICANN sometimes is deceiving, because it looks like ICANN is kind of personal. It should be weekend. It should be, you know, it's kind of, it's
the World Internet Corporation.
but yeah, that's reality. I mean, I see people here that basically, since they were born, internet was there, and it's something that for them is granted, but that's something that is not given. And having access to participate in how these policies are made and how to ensure that internet continues evolving and developing, it's something that probably human history we never experienced. So I'm glad that you are here, that you are ready to engage. Don't be afraid to stop us during the corridors, in the alleys, ask us questions. And after the ICANN meeting, We don't disappear. We are there. We are paid to do this work. I mean, to have you participate and engage and make part of this. Yes, yes, please. And if you have questions now, or if you just have any other observation to make, or whatever, if you want.
Yes,
to.
Absolutely. Any questions? Please just remember to state your name first before you ask your question. We have a little bit of time this morning before our session ends, so please.
Because I want to speak in Spanish, just to put a little sauce this morning. Jean-Jacques. Okay. Yes. Bueno, mi nombre es Amparo Arango. Yo vengo de la República Dominicana. Y quería preguntarle, en el modelo, en la estructura anterior, si puedes poner la gráfica, donde están todas las partes interesadas y está el board del ICANN. Sí, exacto, es más o menos este. Obviamente, en este modelo tiene que haber tensiones y tiene que haber controversias. Algo se ha dicho en la mañana de cómo se solucionan estas controversias, pero quería ver su punto de vista, porque al parecer es un modelo como muy técnico, pero creo que hay un gran fondo político en este modelo. Entonces, ¿cómo ICANN, el WICANN, soluciona o maneja o trata estas controversias y las situaciones complicadas? Gracias.
Have you already answered the question? So, in terms of the tensions, I think it's inherent in any structure where you have different interests able to talk and able to voice their opinion that you have tensions between those groups. And in a way, it's built that way because we need to be able to understand different perspectives. Now, how you resolve them? Well, we try to do it always through consensus. If the consensus doesn't work, it gets up to the boards, and then the board has to take a decision. And if it needs to vote, then it does vote. It's interesting. I think you're right in saying that it looks a bit technical because, well, the setup was created by very technical people initially, and it's evolved. And the internet has become much more than a thing for geeks. It's become, an everyday resource. So there's many more difficult questions. But at the end of the day, in any matter of life, we have to balance different perspectives and interests, and it's difficult. And that's why we have to evolve at the moment. That's why there's, within ICANN, a review of accountability to try and make those processes better and make sure we're as transparent and accountable as possible. And that's why more widely in internet governance, we want the ecosystem to evolve and try and be as responsive as possible. But, if you think about your national level, how governments do policy, if you're a policymaker, your job is really about balancing interests. Things might not end up being perfect, but if they're good, then you're in a decent state. If it's good based on consensus rather than perfect based on just one group's view, that might not be so great. So we have to evolve and make things as good and smooth as possible. But it's a difficult exercise. That's why at the moment it would be great to have really good advice as we seek to improve our accountability. If people have got good constructive proposals on how things can be improved, we very much would like to hear about that. So there's, the process is open. There'll be several rounds of comments. There's one that's due by the 27th of June, so end of next week. And you can get involved also in that process, and we would very much welcome good ideas.
Hi, my name is Hui Fin, and I'm from Singapore. I'm also part of the NextGen program. I want to talk about this slide as well, and you mentioned accountability early on in your response. So usually accountability in a corporate governance model, there are check and balances. And here you have many stakeholders, but everything is decided at the board level, right? The board gets to decide matters.
Not everything. Not everything. So there are... So for instance, if you think about the registries, or we were talking earlier about the five big registries that have regional registries that allocate regional addresses. Yes. Within their communities, mm-hmm. for instance, RIPIN, which goes through Europe, Middle East, and a little bit of Asia, they set the policies that make sense to their own community. And in many cases, they don't need to go back up to the ICANN board. They can set their policies within the region, and it's the same for the groups. So there's only certain decisions that get to the board. Not everything has to go up. Mm-hmm. Plus, there are checks and balances. There are many processes and recourses, etc. I don't know how many sort of presentations you will get over the course of this week. There's some really good slides done, for instance, on the GNSO, which show you the policy development process, from how it gets initiated to the various moments when you sort of consult, review drafts, you can object, etc., etc. So there's a number of processes being built. So it's actually been, there's actually quite a number of mechanisms to have checks and balances. Now, can they be improved? Probably. But not everything goes to the board. I think it's important to remember as much as possible, and I hope this will continue and even be improved in the future. Mm-hmm. When decisions can be taken at a lower level, then they should be, absolutely.
And to whom is the board accountable?
The board is voted in by the various communities. As you saw, each of the main supporting organizations and groups can choose to can vote for one, two, or three representatives on the board. Yeah. That's one of the main accountability mechanisms. Then you've got a few others. For instance, we have an ombudsman. It was mentioned in one of the other slides, and there's a few other accountability mechanisms, as they're called. So mm-hmm. another one is called a reconsideration request, and there's an independent review panel as well. So there's various mechanisms that accountability mechanisms that exist. But again, we're doing this major consultation on accountability, and that's where we hope that for instance, experts on corporate governance can give us some good tips. Make sure that. That either we're doing things well or that where it can be improved, we can have the right processes in place.
Thank you. I think I have a lot of homework to do reading up. Thank you.
Please help us. Thank you.
Thanks for the presentation. My name is Naveed. I'm from Pakistan. So I work for a university. I'm a teacher professor. As I can understand this ICANN, it has mainly an integration role that combines policy making from different communities and then making some decisions maybe if necessary. But has there been any analysis on whether the policies that have been made by different stakeholders were being implemented or being standardized and to what extent? I can see that, for example, IETF, that has mainly a standardization role, it may have some policy, but has there been any analysis that one of the policies that were being recommended by one of the organizations were actually being transformed into a standard or not, or what kind of things going on there then?
There's been an awful lot of academic analysis, and you'll find lots of articles. But I think, simply put, for instance, if the GNSO, one of those organizations, takes a decision in relation to, for instance, to reflect certain laws, just as an example, that decision will be taken and automatically apply to contracts between ICANN and the registrar that administer new domain names, as an example. So they will have to comply with that. So there will be, there is a direct result, if you will, if there is compliance. If there's no compliance, we have a compliance team that initiates proceedings against the registrar as needed, and basically based on the contracts signed between the registrars or the registries and ICANN. That's one of the most obvious forms, I guess, of seeing whether there's take up, if you will. In the standards world, in ITF, well, standards are very different because you can agree a standard and it looks beautiful and everybody says it's beautiful, but no one uses it in practice. That's just the world of standards generally. So that's a different discussion altogether. And that's not being done at ICANN as such. At the same time, for the ITF, they agree protocols and parameters that relate to domain names and they give those to ICANN to implement. So those definitely do get implemented. And so if they've got a bearing on how the root zone works or the domain names work at a high level. So a bit of that works as well. I hope that answered the question. Might have time to take one more if there's any.
Hi, I'm Dennis Akwanga from Uganda. My question is about the rights of the end user as an internet user. We all know very well that organizations and institutions have a lot of voice in influencing government policies. In this respect, we are referring to internet usage. But when you look at the current situation all around the world, we realize that government policies appears to be geared towards impeding the free usage of the internet by the common man. ICANN, as an organization, has got a lot of authority and opportunities to help the end user have their rights not impeded on. That is, when we look at the government's big brother mentality currently going on in respect of sagas like the WikiLeaks, how can ICANN help to ensure that the rights of the local of the common man as an internet end user is not being so much impeded? Thank you.
Thank you. This is obviously a question that is of interest to all of us as individuals. I think as ICANN, the easiest way and the clearest path where we help is, or we can help, is just in our structure, in the fact that actually, unlike the traditional setup in many nations, we do have users actually involved in policymaking directly, and being able to contribute directly in decisions, whether they, through the advice they give or the common decisions they come together with other groups within an advisory committee or in having people represented on the board. So we give our voice directly to the end user, and the impact, and we're using that word impact, is very influenced to the end user and civil society. And that's why I was trying to encourage you to look in particular at participating in the GNSO and the what's called the NCUC and the NCSG, sorry for the acronyms, because there they need help. They need help from volunteers to help them come up with better input and just better representation. It's clear that some other stakeholder groups are better funded. They can send more people to meetings. So maybe, they just crowd the room. We need more people from civil society and generally individual end users being able to be there and sort of balance discussions. But I think we and ICANN can try and lead by example and make sure that the voice of the end user really does get reflected. There's always room for improvement, but I think that would be a really important long-term contribution to making end users' rights respected, because this is a model where the end user has a direct voice. It doesn't just get imposed. So that answers part of the question, I realize. But I think this idea that a multi-stakeholder model is important, it's in large part because this is one of the only models where end users have a real voice and can have a real impact. And there's not that many around the world. So I hope that you'll learn a lot from this week, see how it works in practice, how people can actually take the floor, whoever they are, make their comments, ask questions in pretty much
any of the meetings organized today and have an influence. See that, see how you could influence things, bring back the word back home, create your local multi-stakeholder structure and improve things for every day for the people around you. Thank you. Yeah? It's your turn?
It's my turn.
Thank you. And final one, then.
Oh, well, in that case, for me, thank you. Yes, Michael Henneke, Netherlands. I have a question for Mr. Bacali.
Andrea.
Yes, hello. Sorry, just about the regional presence of ICANN and your job as a regional manager. Recently, I've been seeing a lot of ICANN staff having titles like product manager or registry services manager, etc. And it seems to me that those titles indicate that ICANN staff is becoming more and more of a, well, it seems to be more of a market-oriented organization, a service organization. Is that something that you as regional manager recognize, and is that a direction that you're actually going into?
Honestly, I think that as product manager, we are awful. I mean, if we should sell something, I don't think we are the best in marketing. So the definition that we, myself and Jean-Jacques, is stakeholder engagement, which is something that I even find challenging because I'm not a native English speaker. If I want to translate stakeholder engagement in any other language, it doesn't make too much sense. So you will see that our marketing in this kind is not one of the top. Your point is that we do realize that we have some issues in not only making ourselves known, but also making ourselves easily accessible in all the different parts and processes that we have. So there is a coordinated effort through the regional strategies to get our structure more open, to get the input from communities that are not currently engaged at the local level, participate and understand in ICANN. Because as we see, the model is open and is based on an equal footing participation, is transparent and is web streamed. But that doesn't mean necessarily that everybody has the tools and the means to access it. So if a model is open but only a few people participate and shape the policies, then you may see that the results can have some shortcomings in that. So as ICANN becomes a truly global organization, the need to get stakeholders from all the regions and potentially the 3 billion plus users of the internet participate in the decision of these layers of the internet is essential. And that's basically our job. And I don't know if you want to go more into that, but I don't think we need to market anything. I mean, I work in Brussels, for instance. Brussels is the capital for, like Washington, D.C., for lobbyists. And people ask me if I'm a lobbyist. And I always think, not that I have anything particularly against the lobbyists, but I don't see myself as a lobbyist. I'm not going to go there and influence a piece of legislation in the European Parliament. Actually, what I want to do is making people aware of how the system works, making people able to participate and join the process. So more as an advocate or an evangelist or I don't know, just call me by name.
Okay.
You're welcome. Please.
We have just about 5 minutes left, so please.
Yes. You'll excuse me because I'm a newcomer, and my question is, has ICANN any guidelines, especially for us coming from small countries? I come from the Comores and or small communities, because, the internet for us is a bridge to the world. I mean, that opens up a lot of possibilities. To give an example today, a lady in the remote village has to use internet to talk to the immigrant son in Paris or whatever, you know. So it's not just something for communication, but it's the survival of those community. Now, you may have governments telecom companies that have monopolies, and when you want to buy a domain name that is very expensive, I mean, in certain ways, it prevents young entrepreneur or communities, you know, to operate. And they would like to have KM, which is Comoros, then Ravacom, you know, because they can target communities or diaspora outside, things like that. So, and this, you can call it commercial policy, but in certain ways, it prevents those, because pricing, really, because there are registers there. So I don't know. I mean, is there anything, or lobbying or whatever, or denouncing that? You know, I mean, we do. I mean, in the course of the last year and this year, we had demonstration and things like that on about, you know, freedom of the internet and things like that, you know, but also pricing, you know, because... So I wanted to know, you know, if there was something like that, especially domains and pricing or things like that, some guidelines or whatever.
Thank you for the question, because I think it's a good way to go further in my thoughts. Basically, the question is yes, and the place is the ICANN meetings. So you have these concerns; they are legitimate concerns. You can be the one raising them up and gather other community to raise them up and shape the policies to address those concerns. So the whole new GTLD process, for instance, it took almost 7 years of consultation. But in these 7 years of consultation, not everybody participated into that. So not everybody was able to voice these concerns. Some people did, but maybe not enough. And that doesn't mean that it has to be like that forever. The beauty of the ICANN model is that the transparency and the possibility to influence and to participate in the policy is open to every and any one of you. Now, the other good news is that ICANN now does as much as it can to allow you to do that and to participate. So we are aware that small communities have less resources, have less capacities to join and participate in these discussions. When I first went to an ICANN meeting, there was no, and it was many years ago, and I was a student actually, and I wanted to know what is this thing that governs the internet. There was no translation, there was no webcast. And I remember that it was the first time that I saw a meeting room where everybody was with a laptop on his lap. You know, it was something, you know, I never been to a conference and everybody was on a computer at a conference. To me, it was like, well, what's going on here? And at that time, ICANN was already making these international, let's say, policies, but and it was already open, but not everybody was participating. And that, I think, in a way, created problem also for ICANN itself, for the model itself. The model gets much more legitimate when everybody participates. And I hear your concerns about pricing from many sides, you know, and people said, why do I get, do I need to have all this money to apply for new GTLD? Well, there are technical reasons, because you need to, ICANN has cost that has to cover. But at the same time, few people know that there was a supported application model in the new GTLD, where community could go there and apply, and only few people applied for that. Now, is that a fault of the people? No. I mean, in my view, it's in a way, it's ICANN's fault. They wasn't able to promote and to make people aware of that. So I hope I addressed your question, that and that you are able to, and if you need support, if you think that you need help from ICANN to reach out to your community, if you need ICANN to send some experts to deal with particular issues within the ICANN remit, go ahead and ask. And I mean, the success of an ICANN meeting, actually, I think, is how many newcomers come to each ICANN meeting and how many oldies, in a way, decide that their job is done, you know? So I hope that... Is there any other question? That's it? Okay. So thank you for coming and enjoy the rest of the week.
So for all the newcomers, we'll be meeting back in this room at 1:15 p.m. to finish our afternoon session. We're going to have updates and overviews from our policy team to talk about the policy development process. We're going to have an update on the IANA functions from the VP of IANA, also DNS services, security and stability. And then there's going to be a little bit about public responsibility and a little bit about some of the new engagement tools on the ICANN website. Please come back. Enjoy a lunch break. Be back in here at 1:15 p.m., please. And coffee will be served. And there, so please, everybody, just come back. And thank you so much for your excellent questions.